Well, now, what it says here is that you want to sort of talk about possible options for a year out, and then relevance of archaeology to career in surveying or land management. That's basically what you want to talk about, isn't it? Okay. Well, what about this year out then? What do you know, sort of, what you want to do at all, or?
Not a great deal. I mean, I'd like possibly to try and stay in the field of archaeology to some extent, but obviously I also want to earn some money because I'd like to do some sort of further qualification after the first degree. So, and now whether that is going on to do something with surveying or whatever through one of these courses, which gives you exemption from there. So pass their exams or whatever,
Yes, I
or
see.
whether it's to do archaeology heritage management, which I'm also interested in, means I've got to earn £3,500, £5,000 at some point to pay for that and living expenses.
And you hope
So,
to do this in
well, I
one
don't,
year out, or you hope to get
I would
somewhere
hope to get
towards
somewhere
it.
anyway.
Yes, I see. Well, I suppose the question is, well, I mean, if the aim is to earn money, basically, in this year out, then do you have any skills which are in high demand and people will pay
I'm
for?
really not sure. I mean,
Or even any skills which would make you employable at
yeah.
all, which is another,
That's
you
it. I mean,
know.
it's a. It's. I've got. I mean, I've got a job for the first 6 weeks already,
Have you? Yeah.
with the department of working as a
Yeah.
supervisor on one of their sites.
Oh, great.
So,
Yeah.
you know, that's
That's
about
okay.
£700 straight off that I've
Right.
got.
Yeah.
So, I've got a bit of time also in which to apply for a few things and go see a few people.
Yes. Yes.
So,
Yeah.
the other option, of course, is not to do that and to try and gain some experience, maybe voluntarily for some of the time, so that maybe I can then spend, in another year's time, perhaps get a job which is a bit more relevant and I'll be able to earn some money.
I see. Yes, to try. So the other aim would be to try and get some skills which would improve your chances of doing
Yes.
whatever it was you wanted to do
Yeah.
in the end. Yes. Well, if we, I mean, you're probably fairly clear about the archaeology
Yeah.
area, and you probably know more about that than I do, so I won't, you know,
Yeah.
or there are other people who
Yeah.
could tell you more about that. So maybe we should look at the surveying land management
Yeah.
bit, which I must admit I'm not an expert on,
Right.
but my understanding of gaining a surveying qualification is that basically you go and work as a dog's body, and graduates are allowed to take the exams within 2 years, and you'd probably have to go on a night school thing or
Yeah.
something to get it, you know. But basically, there aren't any really, or there are very few decent schemes where they actually take
Yeah.
graduates in with a view to training them properly.
Yeah.
And more or less, you just earn your bread and butter doing
Yeah.
things. I mean, it might be in the office
Yeah.
doing clerical work. Or it might be using surveying instruments.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, are you, can you
Yes.
do all
Yes.
that?
I mean,
Yeah.
that's one of the things I wanted to talk about was the relevance of archaeology to that sort of work. I mean, certainly I've done surveying, I mean,
Right.
fairly elementary surveying, but nevertheless I
Well,
know how to use a level and
yeah.
a theodolite and
Right.
that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I would have thought that it's the sort of thing you're looking for.
Yes. Well, I'm sure there are, you know, there might be some scope for doing
Yeah.
that. It might be sort of rather like archaeology, you know, when they've got to do the road or something, they want somebody to do it for 3 weeks or
Yeah.
3 days or
Yeah.
whatever it takes to
Yeah.
do it, and then they don't really want them anymore.
Yeah.
So, but on the other hand, if you got with somebody, I suppose, a firm that was doing that sort of work and they
Yeah.
knew you could do it. I'm just not at all sure of how that actually works. I mean, presumably, I mean, obviously the local authority has its own people
Yeah.
who do that.
As far as I'm aware, anyway, from reading the
Yeah.
information, there appears that there should be private companies. I actually haven't looked in the yellow pages.
Who do that sort of work? And,
you know, maybe I am the sort of person they're looking for, who's already done a little bit of surveying, to join as a DOPS body, and then over the 2 years or 4 years, however long it does take, you know, slowly, presumably, you just get given more responsibilities.
The best training for surveying. Now, interestingly, we recently had a thing about this from, gosh, I can't remember where it was now, but it was certainly, you know, probably one of the new, very new universities, you know, the ex-polis.
Yes, yeah.
And they were running a surveying course in conjunction with the Inland Revenue.
Yes.
Which
I
now, that's the best thing I've seen for getting sort of properly qualified.
Yeah. There are a number of courses which you can do, most of which are only a year, which give you exemption
partial.
From.
Do they?
Yeah. Some of them actually give you exemption from all of them, although I think maybe they're more than a year.
Yeah.
I have heard that there's a good correspondence course with Reading University.
Well, Reading does the degrees in estate management, doesn't it?
So
I mean, they know what they were about if they were running a correspondence course.
The thing is, I have to earn money to do those beforehand.
I suppose it's a question of how much correspondence course actually costs.
Yes.
And it should be relatively cheap.
Well, that's
because,
what
I mean, you know, they don't. I mean, it depends, I suppose, the extent to which there is any tutorial element, but I mean, whether they have you there for a week or something and teach you some of the practical stuff. But it's obviously very minimal compared with what you get.
Yes, I mean, I'm wondering if perhaps, I mean, I may be able to get some money from my parents a little bit, and with this money that I'm going to earn in the first 6 weeks, and then possibly getting a job while I'm doing the correspondence course, even if it's just bar work, earning a little money, especially if I'm living at home, which might be expensive.
Would be cheap.
Then maybe I'd be able to do it through the correspondence course.
I think the thing about correspondence courses is that you have to be very good at disciplining yourself, because there's no sort of backup, really. I mean, all right, you've got your assignment and it has to be done by the end of the week or the end of the fortnight or whatever it is, and you've really got to get it off, and then presumably it's marked and it comes back, and maybe there are some things you haven't covered or whatever, and maybe that if it's a good response course, they may refer you to the actual, you know, things you should have read and so on, and then you've got to do that and get on with the next one. And it's really almost all up to you.
I think I could do that.
Right. Yeah.
I think if it was my main.
Yeah. So thing, I mean, you were doing bar work, but really that wasn't the main job. Yeah.
If that was the case, then I think I would be able to do that.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it, I suppose, is that. Then you've got to take the exam, haven't you?
Yeah.
But I think certainly I would have thought a place like Reading, probably half their people set the exams anyway. So, you know, it should be pretty well spot on for what you actually want. You know, the key thing is to discover how much work a week, you know, how many hours a week they think it's going to take. Now, that's actually extremely difficult to estimate, really, because, I mean, you know, some people are pretty quick, and some people are actually rather slow.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I remember when I was doing work with the Open University, you know, I was a sort of a tutor with them, or counsellor with them, and I think we used to say 10 to 15 hours work a week for one of their subjects, you know, one of their main full courses. And I think, too, people tend to say about that level for something like the accountancy qualification. So that's probably what you're looking at.
Yeah. That's actually not.
It isn't that much,
is it really?
Not if you're doing bar. Well, it would work quite well with bar, because bar is a real pain, because it splits the day up in such an awkward way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But if you get in a couple of hours and you work really hard at it, and then you go back and do your, you know, it's.
I mean, 15 hours in the week is not much at all when you consider how much you're expected to do for a degree. I mean, it's not how much you end up doing.
Well, it may be, of course. You see, on the other hand, the accountancy takes 3 years now.
Yes, it could be that you're expected to do 30 hours a week.
Yes, but I think you need to check that to see what they're... And if it's a good course, they should actually have some sort of estimate of this, you know. And, I mean, you've obviously got to judge a bit your own capacity to say, well, if it's a lot of it's maybe there's quite a lot of figure work or something, and if you're not actually frightfully hot at that, then maybe that's going to take you a bit longer. So, you know, you maybe are on the safe side a bit. But as you say, even if it's, 30 hours would be getting quite probably doable, but you know much more than that, do you? Otherwise, you know. Anyway, I think that's worth checking.
I think the course actually leads to complete exemption.
Does it? Yes, all the exams. Yeah. Then you've got to get the experience, presumably, to qualify.
Yeah, I think once you've done that, you then are in a position to join a firm properly, still properly as a bit of a dog's body, and then you have a sort of probationary period where...
And, I mean, it depends what you're looking for. I mean, there were firms like, you know, this huge firm in London, who used to take graduate trainees on.
Yeah.
But they were much more interested in people, of course, with degrees in Spain. But they did take people who hadn't.
Yeah.
Now, if you passed exams,
then
it might be worth writing around to see what the, or even ask the people who are running the correspondence course, you know, what the chances are, or whether the pattern is that you get a dog's body job in an ordinary firm of estate agents, you know, and you're doing that, and that's working your time out, so that then, you know, I'm not sure either whether, of course, I mean, one would hope that the institute would have certain requirements about the practical period that you actually had to have experience of X, Y, and Z, you know.
I think there's quite strict.
So you might be able to find out from the institute who was offering this, and then approach them and try and find out what the chances were. Because I think you probably need to check it out a bit before embarking on, you know, that. I mean, obviously, it may be that there's very little these days, I'm afraid, which is absolutely copper bottom guarantee, you know. But if they were able to say, well, you know, yes, we do take people who've got the exams, you know, we took somebody last year or whatever, and you could get a feel for the fact that they did do it, then, you know, that would be something. Whereas if they say, well, the recession's so bad, we haven't taken anybody for the last 5 years, and your researchers can't unearth anybody who seems to be prepared to give you even half a chance, then, I mean, it's obviously not probably a very good idea.
I mean, I think Reading and Sheffield and whoever are doing the course, they should have figures about who they've placed where.
Well, they should. The thing is, you have to be slightly careful about those, because it may depend on what experience the people had before they did the course.
And if
you know, they had none at all, and you know, they came from an arts background, fine, you know, then they really like you. But you know, if they got a couple of years in something, and
the Sheffield one, it says in the brochure that they're looking for people who are who have already maybe a bit of experience, so they've actually said that.
So you've got to be slightly careful. But I mean, if you already can use the other lights and things, then in a sense, I mean, what do they mean by experience? So, you know, but you've just got to be slightly careful, I think, of the figures. And if you know, it's much better if you can talk to the admissions tutor or whatever, or concoct a letter which asks some very direct questions, you know, which cover the business of previous experience, and so, or somebody, how many people do they have with your particular background of a little actual practical surveying experience in the context of archaeological digs, and so on, you know, and can they say what those sort of people have gone on to?
I mean, what ideally I'd like to do is to get those qualifications and then move into back into the field of archaeology, working with someone like English Heritage National Trust, people like that, who work with valuers and surveyors working out the potential of their land and how they can use their land and their properties to the best effect. So now whether that means we're actually working directly for them or working for a company who specialises in the management of historic buildings or
It's tricky, isn't it? I'm afraid we don't know who these companies are.
Yeah.
Now, that's what you really need to find out, isn't it? And then to find out what sort of people they've got working for them and what qualifications. Yeah. I mean, architects use these sort of people, don't they?
Yes, yes.
Because I remember talking to one, and there are a number in York who do this sort of work.
Well, I would imagine so. And I think if I talk to Jane,
she would be
the person who would know about it, or Martin maybe. And possibly even go down to the trust and talk to them.
Well, that's a good idea, because I gather the department and the trust don't quite. No, so no. They might know some different
do
people.
It. Yes, exactly.
so you might get.
I think perhaps there are a few more places where I can get some information from. But.
I think the architects, because I was engaged in trying to find a sort of temporary work for somebody in archaeology, and I remember I got to an architect, and he did quite a lot of that sort of work, and they would know which architects do that sort of work, and I think he was keen on whether the person could do sort of surveying of a building and actually doing the drawings for it, so that if you could do that,
that's part of our training.
Well, they're very interested in that because they will have to do that sort of thing as part of a job, and they don't really want to spend time doing it. Well, it's cheaper if they can employ somebody.
Yeah, I mean, I know also one architecture firm in Gloucester where I live that deals with that, because when I was originally going to do my dissertation, I was going to do farm buildings in James. So get in touch with this architect, because this bloke is particularly interested in it. He deals with historic buildings and things like that. So I can always
Have a go back there
It's obviously better to work in both places at once.
Need all the contacts.
So I think maybe sort of the first priority is to find out a bit more information then about. Who employs these sorts of people?
I think that's right. I'm sure the architects do. And there are sort of architects' practices who are particularly interested in doing sort of historic buildings and so on. And that, of course, is the sort of area that you want to get into, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that might be quite a good.
Yeah, I haven't actually thought of architects. So
And of course, there is the Institute of Advanced Architectural Studies in the university. Yes. I mean, I don't know whether they run this conservation course. Yeah. You see, so I mean, they should know who these architects are.
Yeah.
If you can get into there, see their secretary or somebody, and I expect you might be able to.
Yeah.
Or if any of your archaeology people know anybody in there or something.
I'm sure Jane will.
Yes, well, she may know who the architects are anyway.
I'm sure she will work with
I think that's a useful sort of line.
Yeah. And also to find out a bit more about the correspondence course.
Yes, exactly. What it is, and
I mean, clearly, I don't think at the moment I'm in a position to apply for a tour course because I don't have the money.
Right.
So that's out unless.
I was going to say, do you know about career development loans?
No.
Well, I mean, there's borrowing the money, I'm afraid. But, I mean, there is a sort of file out there on it somewhere. And basically what it is it's a government-sponsored thing, which the rules may have changed, because they're always changing. I think they'll probably, and they're putting more effort into getting the unemployed off being unemployed into courses, aren't they? So probably they may have improved things. But anyway, the basic idea of it was that you borrow money, money to finance a cause which is going to get you a job.
Yeah.
Now, you could claim that this work is, it's obviously vocational, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if you had done some researches into the job opportunities and you could cite them, then that would be good. And the limit was £5,000 for 1 year, but I think they only pay half the fees or something of whatever course it is. And it only courses of 1 year's duration, maximum of 1 year.
Yeah. Well, most of these are 1 year anyway.
Well, that's fine then. And what happens is that you do it through a bank, but there are banks which I think Barclays and the Cooperative Bank and maybe one or two others do it. And the scheme is that the government pays the interest while you're on the course.
Right. Yes.
And then you have to start paying it back and paying the interest, you know.
Yep.
So the idea is that you obviously need to get a job pretty quick.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to avoid
going into debt really, like that if you could. But you might use it to top up.
Yeah.
You see, if you can get a certain amount of money. Yes, well, I mean, take out 2,000 or something.
Yeah.
Might make a lot of difference to your ability to survive the year without serious discomfort, you know, to have another £1,000 or something. And then, of course, there would be, I don't know what the rates of interest are or the payback period, but the, of course, the longer the payback period, the more it costs you in the end. And so, but I imagine the rate of interest would be kept fairly low.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I should definitely look into that, because it could, you know, be a bit annoying if I was £500, £1,000
short
at the end of the day.
You could just do it. And of course, I suppose the advantage of that is too that if you needed the money to pay the course fees to get on the course, well, if you get it from them, you just get the money, and then you could actually sort of shell it out.
The reason why I didn't take that Sheffield Hallam University one was because they wanted you for 4 years for definite after that in evaluation. So basically you're committing yourself for 5 years, including the course time, of course.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't take it. Well, it wasn't working in the field that I wanted to work in, And I think most of it would be sort of assessing the value of buildings for council tax.
Oh, it is. Yes, like entirely that, so. Is, I'm sure that's what it is.
Because
it's actually part of the Inland Revenue.
Yes.
That's what they're about.
They say, you know, there's all sorts of things. You do farms, you get into the country, and you do land as well. But I reckon 98% of their people are doing houses. So.
Well, I suppose, you see, maybe what they're trying to do. I mean, as far as I know, I mean, previously, the Inland Revenue, or it's the Valuation Office part of the Inland Revenue, they actually used to run a scheme where you worked for them and you qualified while you were working for them.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, that was the most sort of financially effective way of actually getting qualified, because they really did have a proper scheme and you were paid a sort of reasonable wage.
Yeah.
And you were sort of given the time and I'm sure they paid for the books or whatever you needed, and they paid the fees and so on. Whereas anywhere else, you just work for a firm of state agents and they pay whatever they pay you. And the qualification is up to you.
You go off and do it.
And,
I mean, I think, I don't know if maybe working for a firm of chartered surveyors, it's the same system, isn't it? Working as a dog's body and then maybe finally working up.
And
you have to do it over 4 years, I think, if you do it that way. You can go into it if you've, the minimum qualification they say is only GCSEs.
Yeah.
Obviously, it just takes a lot longer to do it. Mm. So perhaps with a degree, it would only take maybe 3 years.
Well, I think from memory, there's a dispensation in the professional qualification which says that graduates can take it in 2 years.
Right.
And sit the exams in 2 years.
If you're working with the Chartered Surveyors.
I think that's probably true. Yeah. I don't. And so it is reduced.
Yeah.
And maybe the correspondence course slots into that.
Yeah. I should look at the page and see if I can find some of the Chartered Surveyors.
Well, that's another route, really. Although, I think your architects are
Yes, I think
if you could work with an architect who was using you to survey and draw historical buildings, and you just worked with him, and you took the exams on the side, as it were, and he probably wouldn't mind that you were only going to be there for a year or two. You know, he was getting a good deal out of it. So,
I mean, there might even be, he might be able to get other people from where I, from the department here who are also interested in that. I'm sure there will be people who would, jump at the opportunity to get to do that. So,
Well, is that about about it?
I mean, that's
fine. Yeah. Okay, that's giving you a bit more food for thought and so on. Yes, and a sort of a bit of a way forward. Well, you sound pretty organised compared to some of them. And you do have a definite sort of track to look at.
Yeah, I mean, a few months ago, I had absolutely no idea at all what I was going to do. So, but I'm slowly sort of pulling a few ideas.
Well, it sounds as though it's possible. You know, you may have to. I mean, in the end, you might have to sort of compromise it and actually do this valuation thing. That was the only way to get.
I mean, I think I've already resigned myself to the fact that I'm going to have to do one, maybe 2 years more before I get anything like into the field that I want to be in. You know. I don't think it's possible to just walk straight in and see very little.
The other thing you might keep an eye on is trying to develop computing skills.
Yeah.
You know, as you go along. I mean, if there's any, or doing that in addition to something,
we do do.
You do some.
Some, and I have done a little bit on AutoCAD, which is making maps. And you can do plans, buildings on it, and that sort of thing as well. So I may sort of look into it a bit more, maybe get a bit more experience in it.
I suppose, of course, in fact, that sort of computing is fairly specialised, isn't it, really, in a way. But I think even if you're familiar with computers generally and have good keyboard skills, that's it.
And also knowing what's available and how things work.
Yeah.
Like photogrammetry or something where you take a picture of a building and you can see which parts are old and others. There are all sorts of things which are available. If I just brushed up on, so at least if I went for an interview, I'd be able to
talk about it. I think that's it. You've got to be able to put on a bit of an act to the interview. Yeah. If they subsequently discover that actually your knowledge is pretty sketchy, but at least you've got some, you probably at least know enough to go off and get started and then sort it out. You know. Good luck with it anyway. I better turn this thing off.